This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Inside Commodity Futures for today, December 30th. This will be the last one we do for 2015. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Payne, Senior Market Analyst here at Daniels Trading. I'm joined by Craig Turner, my partner in crime, Senior Market Analyst here at Daniels Trading. Both of us here talking about the commodity markets. Been doing it for the back half or back quarter here of 2015, and look forward to doing it with you guys in 2016. So, Craig, got anything to add here last week of the year?
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm glad we got this started this year and looking forward to, you know, doing the podcast every week going forward. I was out last week, so we didn't have a podcast during the Christmas week, but I spent a lot of time looking at kind of where we thought maybe corn and beans might be setting up for 2016 and some other markets, kind of like a little bit of a year in review and maybe kind of where things are heading out. We've been seeing what's going on with the corn and soybean market. It's been kind of just chopping around here, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, going over where we've been just 2 weeks ago, I mean, it's down pretty much on everything grain-wise, but not through lows where we're making anything new. On the livestock side, you've got everything completely reversed from where we were 2 weeks ago, up almost $20 off their lows in certain markets. So going out here into the end of the year, I think if you listen to us the last couple of weeks, we were looking, or at least myself, I was looking for a little position squaring into the end of the year. Haven't really seen that. The markets have been really weak. Whether or not it's this weather situation that's happened that's really kind of put a damper on grain movement along the river, or just a lack of anybody out there buying. Sell side has been busy, obviously, with nobody there to buy, and volumes have been light, so if you're looking for any caveat to it, I would think that would be what you'd lean to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been, there's probably more cash sales coming on, just because of Argentina, and they're, basically getting rid of export taxes and devaluing their currencies, and I'm sure there's some cash side selling going on just from that. Especially in the corn market. You look at some of these other things going on right now. There's nothing – it's hard to get bullish on the grain markets, I think. And I was doing our supply and demand tables for next year. Things don't look all that rosy for corn and beans for 2016. When you look at like acres, me and John were just talking about acres for 2016-17. Maybe let's say we get 88 million for corn and 84 million for beans, which is around where their other estimates are. Still leaves us with a fairly sizable, a similar type carryout that we have now with corn, be pretty much steady. But beans would balloon up to somewhere in the 600 to 700 range. So I don't know, that doesn't look all that promising for, especially for soybeans next year.
Yeah, that's a light way to put it. That's almost three times what we've had 2 years ago.
That's right. We finished 14-15 at 191.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's difficult for me to make an economic argument that prices deserve to be higher with what are high production levels like like you're saying, you know, we're getting high acreage numbers. What did you have for acreage there?
I used 84. I used 84 million. You know, I think it's, you know, between Informa and University of Illinois and also the Purdue extension, everyone was, you know, in that 80, 83 to 85 range. So let's just, you know, sake of argument, we'll say 84 and, you know, give or take a million acres.
Yeah, so we're not seeing acreage loss, and that's an important thing. I talk to a lot of farmers, and I mean, Craig, it's, you know, if things are bad, if prices are too low, then we shouldn't see expansion of production. And the fact of the matter is that beans are going to be a record number as far as planted next year. But, you know, God willing, we don't, these floods don't take us into the spring or anything like that. I mean, there's the outlook for acreage is telling to me, and it tells me that we're not done pressuring the farmer yet as far as kind of what prices can be at full capacity. Now, can we get to full capacity? I think that's really where, if you're gonna sell prices here and you can make the case to do it, it's these weather rallies. And this last week is a big reminder to me that, boy, you know, things can change and they can change fast. So, you know, it doesn't ever hurt to have couple of calls in your pocket on the upside if you're selling grain right now, because we're in an El Nino year. I mean, what is it, Chicago? We've had our first snow now, or second snow.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff happens, and, you know, it's impossible to predict that.
Oh, you're absolutely right, John. You know, so what's fun about doing these models, and I'll put the spreadsheet out in the next Turner's Take Weekly, but what's fun about some of these models, you can then just say, okay, well, we are in an El Nino year. Like, what happens, let's say we do get all the acres, but something happens with the yield. So, you know, you have a 46 yield for soybeans. Let's say, you know, we get a bad year weather-wise, and it comes down to 42 on the, you know, yield. And I use 46, so that's going to be trend line. And that's, you know, in February when the USDA has the, what is it called, the Ag Forum? They have that big conference.
Yep.
Yeah. They'll probably use trend line yields. I think that's what they use. And it's going to be 46, around 46. So let's say we have a bad growing year and we get 42 instead. And that brings out the carryout for next year almost to 300, which is a lot. Which is a lot different. I mean, 300 to me is like $9, $10 soybeans, you know, or, you know, and depending on what's going on in South America, and the dollar could be even higher, right?
Well, where are we at? 400 right now?
We're at 465 right now.
So we're 465. We're trading front month beans at 850.
Yeah.
Basically.
So what if it were 300? I mean, We'd probably be around 10, right? Or maybe even 10, higher.
Oh boy, I would think. I mean, you know, you're getting into what. You know, it's not about where we end up. You know, let's say we end up at 300.
Yeah.
But what happens when we're getting there? You know, how everybody's going to get like, oh, we're going to do 200. And the market will trade that.
Right.
The fear. That's why I fear just, you know, open interest right now, everything. When you look back and we fast forward 6 months from now and we're doing this podcast, you're going to look back and say, did I short or not? And what did I short into? It was this bearish corn story. And if we're 50 higher, you're going to kick yourself for doing it without some sort of protection. And I'm not trying to push calls on anybody. I just think you have to have that recourse to kind of sell into a rally. That's, if you want to market grain well this year, you know, barring any currency changes, I think you have to have the ability to really sell into a scare like we saw this summer. And without it, you know, we're going to be selling, hopefully selling to delivery periods. And that's really, you see December or January beans, six over March. We're going into delivery. It's kind of the same case we saw with December corn. So it's just an interesting time. I shudder about how it could end up. Mm-hmm. But you know, you and I both know that there is something you guys can do about it if you're in those shoes. So
yeah.
So it's a difficult year.
So, yeah, I think it – I agree with you there, John. So it's just interesting to see how things will set up. I mean, with soybeans, you know, if you're talking about hedging, what farmers should do, it definitely makes sense to put something in place, whether they're doing cash sales or they, you know, buying puts or put spreads. But, you know, there is a potential for upside. I mean, I don't want anyone to go home and start crying in their milk because, you know, if you go based on trend line yields and acres, you know, we're going to have 600 or 700 million carryout. I mean, there's weather problems. We're in El Nino year, and you just never know. And it doesn't take much, you know. It wouldn't take a whole lot to really reduce some of the supply here. I mean, on the flip side for corn, we're looking at 88 million acres. And there's some debate about that in the trade. You know, I've seen as high as 90.
Yeah.
And a trend line yield, it would be 169. That it would be 169, maybe 0.1 or something like that. We'll call it 169. Yeah. And then if we got that, we're not, the stocks aren't going up at all. I mean, we're basically at 1.8 billion, which is almost where we are right now at 1.785. Mm-hmm. So really, there's not a whole lot of change in if we get trend line. And what's interesting is, you know, if we have a 160 yield, which isn't the worst thing in the world, instead of 169, you know, all those, all of a sudden the stocks are almost at 1 billion. And 1 billion on the stock, I mean, that's $5 corn in my mind, you know. And, you know, if we get a catastrophe like 155 yield, you know, the ending stocks are under a billion. You know, we're in that 700, 800 billion range. And then all of a sudden, you know, corn's back to 5 and 6. And it's just interesting how much, you know, they're calling for big acres and, you know, and for these trend line yields. And I don't know, the trend line, the yields can get a little bit bigger if weather goes real great. And we can always put on a little bit more acreage here and there. But really where the risk is to the, you know, basically for prices is upside now, especially when you consider we're almost record short. The funds are almost record short both beans and wheat.
Yeah, and yeah. I think I want to just slow down here for my wife and anybody else out there who doesn't quite understand. Basically what Craig is saying is he's talking about the change in carryouts based off of what the yields are. And when we say carryout, we mean what's left over. So whatever's left over at the end of the year, that will change based off of what we produce next year. So in beans, for example, Craig mentioned that we had a really high carryout, potentially based off the yield and acreage, right?
Right. It's all estimates.
All the estimates are pointing towards higher production, which leads, if demand stays constant or even grows slightly, we'll have a carryout well above where we are right now. That is not really the case in corn. Corn is much more steady. Mm-hmm. That's what you're saying, right?
Corn is much more steady. We're looking to, based on just, you know, and again, this is just our numbers we're throwing around, but I think they're pretty close to where the industry thinks we're going to be. You know, we basically tack on another 200 bushels of soybeans to the ending stocks of next year, but we stay pretty much the same in corn, just based on where we think acres and yield and trendline yield is going to be.
Exactly. Okay, so the corn. Now wheat, that is the extreme example the other way. So you have beans that could really extreme, but if we don't have good yields, we'll have that lower carryout. Corn, obviously, we're not looking to grow that carryout much.
Right.
But the carryouts in beans and corn is tight relatively, historically, like 10%, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that's what, as a percentage of stocks to use, which is how many, you know, the what we have in ending stocks divided by, you know, how much we use each year, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the percentages can be, you know, around in between 5 to 20%, right? And for beans and corn. Wheat's totally different. I think wheat, it's almost like 40 or 50% last time I looked. And that is a huge abundance.
So we have an abundant supply of wheat, and I think that's a difficult thing for the market to get over right now, in my opinion. The you know, the hedge funds that trade, or and we'll refer to them as funds, it's essentially speculators who, you know, look at the same things we're all looking at, the same numbers, and they're just putting money to work on whatever they think the prices will do relative to that. And those guys really, I think, look at the wheat picture and say there's no reason why we should be owning any wheat right now. And there's just a lack of story in supply. There's a lack of story in export competition. And really, there's a lack of story as far as acreage. We're still getting pretty good acres out there. So even with the latest kind of floods we've had, the wheat market hasn't really moved. Mm-hmm. So wheat, I would love to see wheat pick up from a bullish corn perspective. You got to see wheat get going. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the carryout relative to what you're saying, Craig, it sounds like we don't really maybe need to see wheat rally that much. I mean, corn itself on a supply rally could do it. Am I right?
Yeah. Absolutely could, and you know, as we head into the new year, and we're looking at, you know, where prices, you know, could be, you know, everything's a probability, right? You know, if you know, what's the probability of having weather issues, and then if those weather issues happen, how does it affect the supply of the commodity, and then what does that mean for prices? So, you know, you could lose wheat, or you can gain more wheat, and you don't know how much more that's really going to affect the prices because the supply is so high. You know, and it seems that's why wheat a lot of times is called a follower to beans and corn, You know, if corn and soybeans are going higher, it drags wheat along with it.
Yeah.
Or if there's a quality issue. And we did see the quality issues with the Chicago contract. And that was a big deal because we did get that rally in wheat to what? Was it like $6? It seems like it wasn't that long ago.
We went to wheat all the way up. I mean, front month wheat went up to almost the $6 last July.
It's crazy.
And it was on that rally that came, you know, from the corn rally.
Yeah.
We got hot and dry. And that is, you know, the market got threatened at that point. And then all of a sudden, I can't remember what it was. I believe we either got rain or the forecast showed we were going to have rain. Or maybe it was that, you know, certain report. But it fell out of bed and fell from $6 almost down to, you know, sub $5. Within about a month.
Yeah.
And that's probably the last big grain rally we've had. It's been a tough time for the bulls, and that's why we're telling you, marketing this kind of crop. If your business is to market grain and sell it at a high price, you have to do it in the threat of a weather supply shock. That's the only way you're going to get a price rally, in my opinion. It just doesn't feel like it to me that unless currencies change. I don't see it.
Yeah. And, you know, or you got to get, you know, the higher probability of the two scenarios is you get a weather rally, which may or may not cause damage, and that happens a lot. You know, it doesn't happen every year, but it does happen a lot. You know, everyone always talks about weather rallies during the summer or in the spring. And then the lower probability of the two scenarios is you actually get real damage, like we had a few years ago. You know, I remember corn yields were well below trend, and so was soybeans. So you know, anything. Yeah, 120s, you know, and I think we were, I want to say low 30, I want to say high 30s for beans, you know, and in those kind of situations, it's just kind of amazing how you can see stocks so high right now and putting so much pressure on the, on farmers and on the market, yet all it really takes is one supply disruption to really send prices materially higher. And it's just something to keep in mind because there's a lot of gloom and doom out there. And if you're a hedger, definitely, you know, I know that's who we're talking to kind of right now, but even if you're on the spec side or you just, you know, you like this podcast because you want to hear about prices and really don't trade the markets, you know, the risk probably right now is for the shorts to the upside with some kind of upside surprise. And you know what's interesting too? You know, we've got right around the corner, I think as soon as we pass through New Year's, the grain trade is going to wake up a little bit and going to start talking about potential catalysts. And I think one of them is going to be that WASDE report, that year-end WASDE report and the 12th, because that's a big one. And then what the Ag Forum is going to say in February. And I was just talking to some clients today about this, and I don't think we're going to see someone brought up the fact that in the January WASDE report, one of the major markets, meaning corn, wheat, or soybeans, has either been limit up or limit down 5 of the past 7 years or 5 of the past 8 years after this January report. I think it was 5 out of the past 8 years. At least one of either wheat, corn, or soybeans was either limit up or limit down after that January report. Now, in years past, so the recipe for that, you know, the real catalyst for that is usually tight stocks, right? And you have tight stocks, and then the tighter the stocks, the miss will create a bigger price change, right? Because if you have abundant stocks, you can have a huge miss, and it might not change really the prices so much. But if stocks are just on a you're holding on by a string, you know, and even if you just get somewhat of a miss, it could have a big implication. So because stocks are so are at least anywhere between adequate to burdensome, I'd be surprised on any kind of real limit moves after the January report. But what it was a good point, you know, basically saying like if it is a very big bullish surprise and the whole market's short, what does that mean?
Yeah, I those are great stats. I think it's, you know, this is a little year where I could see it being the odd year where we don't have a move just because those stocks are so high. I mean, I would be shocked to see us limit down on a wheat move or something like that. It really, the market's priced in so much news. But, you know, you said it before. I think the theme for us, a lot of us who sit on the desk here in 2016, will be just watch out the shorts. We work with a lot of hedgers, and, you know, you look at what happens in crude oil, and this is when hedging accounts pay off. But if you watch how the markets in cattle have moved the last couple of days, you know, it's not always the accounts don't always move that way. It can sharply move higher just in the fact that folks need to get out of the positions too. So,
it's a difficult read at this point. It's prices are a little bit too low to push anybody to sell, or at least for me where I sit, but their fundamentals are poor enough, especially in soybeans, that you could make the case that we're going lower easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, it's funny if you, you know, the odds are, you know, and we always kind of say these things, you know, all things held constant or with normal weather, you know, if we, you know, or the currency doesn't change, you know, prices are probably forecasted to go lower, which I think that's not just us saying that. I'm sure a lot of the trade would say that, and a lot of the analysts, you know, that we read would say the same thing too, but you know, it doesn't always work that way. And, you know, you, if you do, I think, you know, on the hedge side, if guys are making sales, you know, then they are, they're probably doing some kind of re-ownership with calls, or they've just prefer to hold on to the cash and do something with the put side. And then on the spec side, you know, the traders I talk to, a lot of them, like, you know, some of these spreads are getting towards full carry, and, you know, and you get spreads towards full carry or at least close to it, you know, the, in theory, the downside is kind of is limited. And then the upside just depends on, you know, how bad a weather event goes, or, you know, if there's some very large increase in demand. So it's been a, it's been, I mean, that's just kind of the talk that I'm hearing, you know, with, you know, from both sides, the hedgers and the spec play, because it's hard to sell. It's hard to sell into this right now with prices one so low and the market overall being so short.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's tough, and that's, you know, the risk you take if you sell now. I mean, it's not attractive, but we got a lot coming down the road after the report. You know, we'll get into the growing season. Craig and I, you know, we should do something visually here. I think a lot of what we talk about would be helpful to see. So maybe we'll put something like that together for you guys for 2016. You know, a lot of this is just both of us flying by night. So if you guys who listen have any questions or anything you'd like us specifically talk about, shoot us an email. You can just find us both on the Daniels Trading website or Google This Week in Grain, or John Payne This Week in Grain, or Craig Turner or Turner's Take, and then you'll find our email addresses and contact links through those. So for 2015, thanks for joining us. I know we haven't been doing it long. Craig, appreciate doing this with you too. It's been a good year so far.
It's been a great time, John.
Before the end of the year?
No, it's been a great time. I've been really enjoying it, and I'm really looking forward to 2016.
Absolutely. So thanks for joining us, folks, from really cold Chicago, Illinois today. See you guys in 2016. Thanks.
Take care.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.